signify their presence. Will member, excuse me.
The roll shows 15 members present. Senators Bishop, Fairclough, Olson, Stedman are excused.
Members will please stand for Chaplain Senator Dyson.
Yeah, thank you. I'm, excuse me, obviously pinch hitting this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we ask for your blessing on the folks that are here, for your protection for everyone in this building, and not only for our bodies, but our hearts and minds and spirits. And we particularly ask for your superintending grace on our servicemen and law enforcement people, emergency response, that you would not only cover them with your blood and your cover and your covenant, but that they would be safe and that would not be discouraged. Especially pray, as you've commanded us, for our president, for our governor, and all of the executive branches that are making decisions. And Lord, make us peacemakers here. Keep our minds focused on our mission to serve and wisely the people of our state. And we ask you to guide us this day. Make us sensitive to the people around us that are hurting, to be an encouragement. And give us clear minds to be about your business and the state's business. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you very much. And would the senator from Juneau, Senator Egan, please join or lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the secretary please certify the journal?
I certify as to the correctness of the journals for the 9th and 10th legislative days.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal be approved as certified by the Senate Secretary.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator Hoffman.
Good morning, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Yeah, without objection, so ordered. Introduction of guests. Senator Geisel.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to ask a young man sitting in the Grow Gallery to stand up, Joe Burns. Mr. President, Joe is a University of Alaska Senate intern in my office this year. He's actually a constituent of the senator from District B, Fairbanks, but he was working in my office and the senator graciously allowed me to introduce Joe today. Joe is a graduate of Monroe Catholic High School in Fairbanks. Not just a graduate, though. He was the valedictorian of his class. He's also the founder and editor-in-chief of that school's newspaper while he was in high school. He was the representative to state student government organizations and student council while there. He has an amazing resume, Mr. President. He was a top scholar for many years while in high school, as well as receiving multiple public service awards in the community of Fairbanks, where he volunteered while in high school and in college. He was a member of the National Honor Society, active in his church and the children's program, and a delegate to Boys State and Boys Nation. This was just while he was in high school, Mr. President. When he went to college, he started out at Bishop University, where he was on the dean's list for three semesters. Then he transferred to the University of Alaska Fairbanks, where he's currently a student, majoring in political science. He's been on the dean's list there for three semesters. He hopes in the future to get a degree in law and specialize in criminal justice. But wait, that's not all. He also is certified as an EMT 2 and Firefighter 1 and has served as a live-in firefighter at the Chena Goldstream Fire and Rescue Station number 42. Just an amazing young man. I could go on and on. He has a very long resume despite his young age. He's proven to be diligent and a quick study in my office, and I'm blessed to have him on my office team. Please join me in welcoming Joe Burns.
Obviously a great Alaskan to be. Yes, Senator Coghill.
Thank you, Mr. President. Sitting right next to this fine young gentleman is an intern in my committee, and I'd ask Carrie Knorr if she'd stand. And she is interning in my office this year. through the university, but she's actually a student at Gonzaga University. So she's studying political science as a major and minoring in psychology. So she has also traveled well and is one of the ladies that I think has a very, very interesting traveling journey. She's been in Paris, France, and did and is doing a French minor. So she spent a semester in France, got immersed in the language, no doubt about it. So, and this isn't her first visit to Juneau, Mr. President. She actually shadowed me in my office for a week, I think during our AGEA debate. So she got to sit in a committee and kind of listen to us go through some of the technical things, and she followed it very well. So I'm really pleased to have her as one of the interns. She's carrying a pretty good load in my office. So, and Mr. President, much like many of us in this building is getting older, her 21st birthday is going to be this weekend. So what a pleasure to have her. Would you please welcome Carrie Knorr to this chamber.
Happy birthday from all of us. Senator Egan.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's my honor to introduce our guest page for today on behalf of the senator from District Q. And our guest page for today is Jessica Petty. Jessica is 16 years old. She's from Naugatuck Bay on Prince of Wales Island. She's homeschooled and loves reading, sewing, and gardening. Jessica is also a volunteer in her community and spends many hours at the Naugatuck Bay Shellfish Nursery, where oyster spat is grown and sold to oyster farmers throughout Alaska. Mr. President, this is Jessica's first time visiting the Capitol. However, she has a desire to explore career options in law and politics. Also, I want to introduce her grandmother, Candy Hempel. She's in the Grow Gallery, and we welcome Jessica as our guest page and her grandmother, Candy.
Other guests for introduction? Seeing none, messages from the governor?
A letter dated January 24 stating, in accordance with Article 3, Sections 25 and 26 of the Alaska Constitution, I submit the following department heads for legislative confirmation. Commissioner, Department of Labor and Workforce Development.
Be referred to Labor and Commerce.
Commissioner, Department of Transportation and Public Facilities.
Transportation.
Those are all the messages from the governor this morning, Mr. President.
Thank you. Communications.
The following reports are on file in the Office Oil and Hazardous Substance Release Prevention and Response Fund Biennial Report Fiscal Year 2011-2012 from Larry Dietrich, Director, Division of Spill Prevention and Response, Department of Environmental Conservation, in accordance with AS 4608060, Alaska Renewable Energy Fund Status Report Executive Summary January 25, 2013 from Sarah Fisher Goat, Executive Director, Alaska Energy Authority, in accordance with AS 4245045D3. Kinnick Arm Bridge and Toll Authority Annual 2012 Report from Michael L. Foster, Chairman of the Board, in accordance with AS 1975111B1. Those are all the communications this morning, Mr. President.
Yes, we could go back to communications from the House.
We have no messages from the House this morning, Mr. President.
Thank you. Reports of standing committees.
The Labor and Commerce Committee considered Senate Bill number 14, Electric Telephone Co-ops Board Terms, New Zero Fiscal Note, signing due pass, Senator Dunleavy Chair, Senators Ellis Machicki, signing no recommendation, Senator Stedman. The bill has a further referral to the Rules Committee. Those are all the standing committee reports this morning, Mr. President.
Reports of special committees?
We have no special committee reports.
Introduction of Senate resolutions.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 5 by Senator Willikowski, urging the United States Congress to provide a means for consistently sharing with all coastal energy producing states on an ongoing basis revenue generated from oil and gas development on the Outer Continental Shelf to ensure that those states develop, support, and maintain necessary infrastructure and preserve environmental integrity.
Yeah, resources and judiciary.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 6 by Senator Dyson, urging the United States Congress not to relinquish to the Office of the President of the United States the legislative duty to safeguard our most fundamental right, and urging the President of the United States to refrain from any further efforts to restrict ownership of firearms.
Judiciary.
Those are all the resolutions for introduction this morning, Mr. President.
Thank you. Introduction of Senate bills.
Senate Bill number 35 by Senator Egan, an act authorizing employers and employees to mediate disputed workers' compensation claims and to negotiate a collective bargaining agreement that offers mediation and mandates arbitration of disputed workers' compensation claims by a hearing officer or other classified employee of the Division of Workers' Compensation, and allowing collective bargaining agreements to supersede certain provisions of the Alaska Workers' Compensation Act and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Commerce and Finance.
Senate Bill number 36 by Senators Ellis, Willikowski, an act relating to missing vulnerable adult prompt response and notification plans.
Estate Affairs and Judiciary.
Senate Bill number 37 by Senator Fairclough, an act extending the termination date of the statewide Suicide Prevention Council and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Commerce and Finance.
Senate Bill number 38 by Senator Olson, an act extending the termination date of the State Medical Board and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Commerce and Finance.
Those are all the bills for introduction this morning, Mr. President.
Consideration of the daily calendar.
In Memoriam, Rose Marie de Lima.
Brief at ease.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citation of the day calendar be adopted.
Without objection, so ordered. Are there any other citations?
Those are all the citations on today's calendar, Mr. President.
Thank you. Unfinished business? Senator Ellis.
Good morning, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that my name be added as a co-sponsor to Senate Bill 30, Teachers and Public Employee Retirement Plan.
Yes, and reflect that as a co-sponsorship. Thank you, Senator Ellis. Senator Gardner, the same? Yeah, as a co-sponsor. And Senator French, co-sponsorship? Others? Yes, moving on, Senator Dyson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I ask that my name be included as sponsors of Senate Bill 37, an act extending the termination date of the statewide suicide prevention council, and similarly for Senate Bill 38, an act extending the termination date of the state medical board, both of them providing for an effective date.
You'll be shown as a co-sponsor. Others under unfinished business? Announcements, seeing none. Special orders. Senator Willikowski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Move and ask unanimous consent to have the special privilege of the floor to discuss Outer Continental Shelf revenue sharing.
Without objection, order.
Thank you, Mr. President. We've had several fascinating discussions this past week about in state affairs, talking about the concerns with federal overreach. And we have so much interplay with the federal government. There's another area that this impacts, and that's Outer Continental Shelf revenue. And under current law, we get nothing from Outer Continental Shelf oil exploration. The resolution I introduced today urges Congress to share revenue from oil and gas development on the Outer Continental Shelf with Alaska and other coastal energy producing states. This will help ensure that those states are fairly compensated for developing, supporting, and maintaining the necessary infrastructure for offshore oil and gas production, and assuming some of the environmental risks associated with that development. Just a little history. Under the Mineral Lands Leasing Act of 1920, federal government shares with states 50% of revenue from mineral production on federal land within each. The revenue is automatically distributed outside of the budget process. Unfortunately, there's no similar federal law to deal with federal oil and gas revenue generated from offshore waters with adjacent coastal states, despite the vital contribution that those states make to our nation's energy, economic, and national security. The states that sustain this critical energy production and development deserve a share of the revenue that's generated because they provide infrastructure to support offshore operations and because of the environmental effects and other risks associated with offshore development. Under the Gulf of Mexico Energy Security Act of 2006, Mr. President, the federal government recognized the contributions made by Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas to national security and agreed to give them 37.5% of the revenue generated by oil and gas development in newly leased federal waters in the Gulf of Mexico. Alaska was not included in that. Other coastal states, including Alaska, should receive and support on a regular and ongoing basis a fair share of revenue from OCS development as compensation and reward for their contributions to the nation's energy supply, security, and economy. This resolution calls for that, Mr. President. There are currently 670 active oil and gas leases off Alaska's coast covering more than 1.7 million acres. Since statehood, oil and gas production from the Outer Continental Shelf off Alaska's coast has generated billions of dollars in revenue for the federal government. Alaska has gotten nothing. A series of sales off Alaska's coast generated $2.6 billion in revenue for the federal government. Were revenue sharing to have existed at the time of that sale, Alaska would have gotten nearly $1 billion. Instead, we got nothing. Additional lease sales are scheduled for 2016 in the Chukchi Sea and 2017 in the Beaufort Sea. It's only fair that as new OCS production moves forward on Alaska's coast, we receive our fair share. Thank you, Mr. President.
Yeah, thank you, Senator Wilikowski. Other special orders? Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be granted the special privilege of the floor to discuss Silver Alert.
Without objection, so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. President. Some of you will remember the legislation from last year that had bipartisan support passed unanimously in this body, and I've reintroduced that legislation today in hopes that we'll get it all the way through the legislative process this year, because we have some examples in recent Alaska history of some tragedies that could be prevented if we work together. 35 other states have passed Silver Alert, similar to the Amber Alert that we all cooperated on. Actually, Alaska was late to that party, and the federal government required that of all states. 35 other states have worked together to put into place a system with their emergency response agencies to take care of or to look out for and to rescue vulnerable adults and disabled Alaskans who may need our help. Many of you may remember, especially the folks from Fairbanks, the tragic case of Bonnie Scott, a 63-year-old Fairbanks woman suffering from Alzheimer's disease. She froze to death after becoming disoriented while driving, running out of gas, trying to walk several miles to seek help. Those are the kinds of tragedies that are easily avoidable. And in a state where we have a growing elderly population, more seniors choose to stay here in their senior years as opposed to moving outside. We have a grain population, an uptick in Alzheimer's, and other forms of dementia. This seems like a very common sense thing to put into place now before any more tragedies. And as I said, this has enjoyed bipartisan and, in fact, unanimous support in the Senate in the past. So I would encourage folks, while the bill is still on the Secretary's desk, to consider adding their names as co-sponsors. This is something we can do together that would be not a huge accomplishment, but a significant accomplishment this year for folks who need the help of emergency workers in times of trouble. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Ellis. Additional special orders? Senator Coghill.
President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be given leave to speak on the matter of times two.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. President, earlier I talked about a younger person having a birthday. Today, an older person having a birthday. So you get to share one with your daughter, and I just wanted to make sure that we talked about your daughter, but you're the one getting older, not your, obviously your daughter, Hallie, who shares the same birthday. And both of you a distinguished military career, and she's obviously following in your footsteps, and so I just wanted to remind people that not only is she a graduate of West Point, but is also assigned to Afghanistan. So certainly we are grateful for the commemoration of the birthday, and thank you for your service and for her service. I wish her well in our prayers with her, and happy birthday.
Thank you, Senator Coghill. Brings a tear to my eye. Special orders? Seeing none, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate stand in adjournment until 11 a.m. Monday, January 28th.
Thank you. With that, we're adjourned.